What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/ohio's time.
Telluretic here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, rechalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at chumbacasino.com.
Let's Chumba. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
A big game today, not to be overlooked, on the road, on the West Coast, against the Raiders.
That right. Hey, I'm just telling you, it's all about what Tennessee Titans team shows up. I mean, if the Tennessee Titans team that shows up against the Panthers and the Bills, they're going to lose. But if they play like they played against the Browns, the Falcons, and the Jags, then they're going to win. It all depends on how they start and how they play. I mean, they're going to play on offense, they're going to play on defense, they're going to play on special teams like they've been doing the last 3 or 4 weeks. But if they come out slow, you know, Tannehill throws interceptions, you know, Henry fumbles, we mess up on defense, then it's going to be a long dog fight like we're seeing with the Texans and the other team.
Floyd, this feels like the kind of game that good teams find ways to win. They find ways to keep up in the playoff chase. And this feels, since Tannehill has taken over, like a different football team.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And I think it has been a different team. You know, as far as today goes, in my mind, this is two teams that are, you know, just like we say about 90% of all the teams. They're all kind of right there at 8-8. And the key thing in my mind today is to not lose it.
Yes.
You know, I mean, forget winning it. And we know, if we know anything about the Raiders throughout history, the Raiders will lose a game for you. Now, if you give them a chance, they're going to get a penalty, or they're going to fumble, or they're going to do something dumb.
And this is the entire franchise history of the Raiders.
Yeah, it's going to be a fight, or they're going to, you know, and it's going to help you out if you can keep your composure and not do the same things. So, I mean, to me, it's one of those games that you want to just play clean. Let's go in there, not have any turnovers. We've had the couple of turnovers the last couple of weeks. None of that. You know, just be smart, keep the penalties down, do what you're supposed to do. Very blue collar, very, you know, let's go get, do our job. Everybody hears that, you know, hey, just do your job. That today is one of those days.
And we got to
do your job.
And we got to take their, I agree with you 100%. We got to take away their confidence early. I mean, you know, they lost two games that they, I mean, now I didn't say they should have won. They got blown up by the Jets. I mean, they just got their butts kicked. But they can't keep this team around. I mean, if you keep this team around, they're capable of being. I know on offense they might not have that explosive power, that explosive plays on the perimeter, but they still got an explosive player, Josh Jacobs, that can actually beat you by himself. So if the Tennessee Titans hit him in the mouth, take the crowd out, and not give them any life, I agree with Floyd 110%.
And the key phrase there, one of the key phrases was take the crowd out.
Take the crowd out.
Because
they're crazy.
They've played on the road forever. You know, they just have not been home, have not had the luxury of cheering for them. And the one thing about that just old, rotten, stinky Coliseum.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
That's an awful
Stinks.
Place. Oh, but the crowd gets into it now.
They do.
I mean, they get into it, and they can be loud, and they can be, you know, obnoxious, and they can be whatever else it takes. So I think if we do something and early, crowd gets out of it. Crowd kind of, you know, settles back and drinks their beer and enjoys the sun. Then we'll be okay.
You know, it's crazy when you get a first down in the. I mean, they get a first down in their stadium and they play funeral bells.
Yeah,
that tells you something. They're not sane. I mean, you just got to take that crowd out of it.
Exactly.
So you talk about taking the crowd out of it, and you also, Chris, talk about taking their confidence away in a game like this. The Raiders don't have a lot of it after getting spanked in New York, spanked in Kansas City. Now they're coming back. Floyd and I talked about this during the week, the rest of their schedule is very winnable. Mm-hmm. And it's almost as if John Gruden is probably preaching to his team, hey, beat Tennessee, and we are right back in this thing. Mm-hmm. You brought up take the confidence, take the crowd away.
Yeah.
I also think the other thing about getting ahead early in this game, take the running game away from the Raiders. Derek Carr has struggled this year. Mm-hmm. I feel like a disconnect between what he's capable of doing mm-hmm. and what Gruden wants him to do. And so, to me, I think, Chris, you want to come out every game and punch him in the mouth.
In the nostrils.
But this game may be a little different because of how important Josh Jacobs mm-hmm. is to Oakland, and Floyd, how important taking their running game away from them today could be.
Yeah, I mean, and as we've seen in the past, that'll be true for both teams. Mm-hmm. You know, if, God forbid, we were to, replicate this Houston game and get behind 21-0, and now they turn that pass rush loose, now we're in real trouble. And the opposite of that is probably true. You know, like you said, you take Josh Jacobs out of it now, force Carr to win it. We know that their receivers are beat up just about, kind of like ours. And so, there's not going to be a lot of weapons. I mean, they're going to have to take their time. And if they can't run the ball, then they may just get impatient and stay to heck with it.
If I'm Dean Pease, I'm going to be sold out to stop the run mm-hmm. because I know that the only person on that offense is Josh Jacobs. That's the only guy that can probably beat me. If you get Carr frustrated, I mean, I know he throws some good balls. I know he throws some good timing balls. But he's one of those quarterbacks that if you get him off the spot and he starts rolling out, he's trying to look for the big play, and that's when he throws the interception. So if we get him throwing interceptions, get him off his spot, and get him frustrated, then we're going to get those turnovers, and then we get the ball to get a score. That's how you take the confidence away from the Raiders.
I think we're going to lose Floyd here in a second, Chris. I think we're going to lose it. Denver is driving.
You almost lost me.
I missed the big play because I was talking. Yeah. I was talking, and so I missed the whole play. I look up. Denver's at the 20-yard line.
Great play.
I do feel like, in this football game, I told you this, Chris.
Yes, sir.
Like, when the Titans had bona fide, legitimate, good teams, this is a game that was always on the schedule because you guys always had the big games with Pittsburgh and Baltimore, mm-hmm. but there were always trips to Cincinnati or trips to Detroit or things like that where you look at the schedule and you think, okay, the Titans should be able to beat that team. Mm-hmm. And your Titans, Chris, would go out there and would win those games. And it wouldn't always be a blowout against a team that wasn't that great, but you guys would always find a way to win that game, it felt like. The years passed before Tannehill took over at quarterback, mm-hmm. it felt like the Titans were never able to win these kind of games. It feels like a different team with Tannehill at quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, you said that word, it should. I mean, you should beat those teams, and we go out there and we lay an egg. I mean, if you look at the teams that we had with the Tennessee Titans, when I first got here, Houston Oilers / Titans, is when we started playing, we didn't understand how to win. But once we lost and then we got closer and closer and closer, and then we moved here, and then we became the quote Tennessee Titans, we understood how to win because we had mature players and we understood that, if guys just do their job and do what they need to do, then they're capable of winning. That's what the Tennessee Titans need to do today.
Floyd?
Yeah, I mean, I think, this is not going to be a complicated game. I mean, I don't see either one of the offenses jumping out to a giant lead. I don't see a bunch of, they're going to run the ball. We're going to run and Tannehill and both Carr will kind of do the same things. You know, they've got a tight end that's their number one receiver. And we've got to have, if we're going to have luck throwing the ball, in my opinion, we're going to have somebody like Davis and Brown. You know, those guys are going to have to show today. They're going to have to say, okay, here's my number one, here's my number two. And what do you think of these, and if that happens, then, we should be okay. I mean, let's face it. I mean, the truth is, if you look at it starting 22, mm-hmm. we're better.
Oh, yeah, much
no,
better.
No doubt.
So, you look at that and you say, okay, if you just go in there and play the solid kind of ball that we've played for the last couple of weeks, not do anything stupid, then, you're going to give yourself a great chance to win.
Well, I was going to say, that being said, I mean, if we look at this 22 between the Houston Texans and the Denver Broncos, we would say that, the Houston Texans have the much better 22, and right now they're down by 3 touchdowns.
Right.
And that's, it was like I was saying to you, how many times do we see a team, especially the Titans, beat the Patriots 1 week and then turn around and get drubbed by Denver the next week. And that's what's happening to the Texans right now. And that's, it's funny to say this, that I mean, I'm thrilled. I'm ecstatic when I see the score right now of this Texans game.
Right.
But it worries me about the Titans game, because that the Titans could find themselves just as easily in a similar
situation.
Well,
yeah. I mean, yeah. And that's the league. You know, you fumble the ball, you throw an interception, you guess what? It's 14-0.
Yeah.
You know, and you're going, well, how'd that happen? And you say, well, you know, you're being stupid. That's how it happened, so let's fix that.
But shoot, look at the Kansas City game. On paper, Kansas City's the better team.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
What? Why did the Tennessee Titans win?
They fumbled a touchdown. They screwed up a field goal.
Exactly.
They blocked a field goal. I mean, all of those things.
That's it. We can't do that today.
And I think, you know, if there's a giant positive that Tannehill directly or indirectly has brought to the Titans right now, it's that I think they're confident they can win, and I think they're confident they can win in a number of ways.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not like, okay, if we don't get the ball to Davis now, we're going to lose.
Mm-hmm.
Where if you're a Raider, you got to say, we got to get the ball to the tight end. We got to get the ball to the running back. The rest of these guys, maybe, but I'm not sure. Well, I think we're kind of, we can say, hey, we can go, you know, we can go to Smith with the ball. We can go to Davis. We can go to Brown. We can go to, and get it to a few people. So, you know, again, hopefully I'm sure we'll be smart about what we're doing, you know.
We are live from the George Jones here on the pregame show. Again, we are going to be keeping you updated on scores around the NFL, including the Broncos and the Texans. Big game there where, of course, Denver has kicked a field goal to take a 24-3 lead with 3:04 to go in the first half. Other scores from around the league. Atlanta leads Carolina 10-3 in the second quarter. The Jets 16, Dolphins 6 in the second quarter. Detroit getting skunked at home by, or on the road by Minnesota 10-0 that game in the second quarter. Indianapolis leads Tampa Bay 17-14 in the second quarter. A wild one in the first half. New Orleans leads San Francisco 27-21. Lamar Jackson and the Ravens are up 10-3 at Buffalo that game in the second quarter. The Green Bay Packers lead 14-6 over the Redskins. The Browns lead 14-13 against the Bengals. And, of course, as we already told you, the Broncos lead 24-3, 3:04 to go in the first half of that game. When we come back, we will take a look at the big four stories in today's game. We go four downs. That's next, live from the George Jones. It's the pregame show on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Jared, Chris, and Floyd live from the George Jones downtown. Titans and Raiders set to kick off 3:25 today. Tons of action from the NFL, but of course the games we're keeping up with right now. The Texans are facing a fourth down. They trail the Broncos with 2 minutes to go in the second quarter. They trail the Broncos 24-3. And other games of note, at least early game, Tampa Bay is driving. They trail Indianapolis 17-14. Obviously, the Titans right now have Indianapolis in the rearview mirror, but it would not hurt for Indy to lose another game or two along the way if they just wanted to lose a couple here.
That'd
for us.
That'd be we fine would. With me.
Meanwhile, I don't know if Buffalo is really in the playoff equation for the Titans. They already have 9 wins and a win over the Titans, which makes it hard for me to believe that the Bills aren't going to get to 10 wins or kind of be hard for the Titans to catch, but they trail Baltimore right now 10-3 that game late in the second quarter. It is time now for the four downs, the big four stories of today's game between the Titans and the Raiders, presented by your Middle Tennessee Kubota dealers. And, of course, we start with first down.
First down.
The Titans have done a good job of managing injuries all season long, but it seems as if the injury bug has hit the Titans. Out today, Adoree Jackson. Out, LaShawn Sims. Out, Adam Humphries. The Titans are banged up today going into Oakland, who also has injury problems of their own. They'll be without Hunter Renfro, who's their number one wide receiver. But injury problems all around.
Oh, my gosh.
And yeah. What do the Titans do now, especially at cornerback Floyd Reese with some of their injuries?
You know, it's going to be an issue. I don't think there's any doubt about it. And I think the part that concerns you is if, I mean, as a general rule in the league, if you get beat up like this at corner, it limits your man for man, what you can do from a blitz standpoint. So that throws you into zone coverages, which we know may not be our forte. But beyond that, it's more difficult to put pressure on the quarterback.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this game's going to be more important than some of the others as far as putting pressure on the quarterback, because we don't want Carr to get back there and have, you know, all the time he's going to need to find these guys that are open down the field. Because if you're in zone or man and he's got 6 seconds to throw,
yeah,
I mean, you're going to get beat. So I worry about it from that standpoint. Other than that, you know, if you knew you could do some things from a coverage standpoint and bring an extra rusher and do some of those kinds of things, then I think you've got a chance to be pretty effective. I just don't know if, in fact, they're going to have that kind of an option.
You know, I just think Dean Pease has to really, really be smart. I mean, if you look at last week when he played the Colts, he was bringing pressure, and the pressure that he brought was a corner. And that was Logan. And when Logan is sending pressure, it eliminates you because you have to play zone behind it. What guys are going to be able to play and take the position of the guys that are hurt? I mean, that's a big problem. So I just think that Dean Pease has to be smart on what coverage he plays, and also the front, because if the front doesn't put pressure on Carr, just like what Floyd said, it could be a long day because he's going to pick you apart.
I think one guy's going to have to step up with the injury problems today, Khalif Raymond. It looks like he'll be the punt returner today with both Humphreys and Jackson out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we'll see Raymond out there more on the field today with the injury to Adam Humphreys. Perhaps Raymond will play some in the slot. And it's like Floyd says, the more you do, the more you get.
Yeah.
And Raymond has stepped up to the plate for this team. I think we'll see a lot more Khalif Raymond today.
They've asked a couple of times, you know, for him to do a couple of things. He started off returning kicks. He looked like he was fairly effective doing that. They said, okay, fine, we're going to throw you in for a play here and a play there.
Mm-hmm.
Two touchdowns later, they're saying, okay, you're pretty good with that. Let's try a little bit more here. And so, you know, the old rule, the more you can do, the more you'll get.
You know, and also your role players have to keep stepping up like what's been happening in the last couple of weeks. I mean, look at Ty Smith, fourth fumble. Kronk and Shank block field goal. Kalu block, you know, against the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
You have guys you really haven't even heard about stepping up, making plays. So we're going to hear some names during the day to be like, when did we sign him? But he's making plays. I mean, before Kalu made the block field goal against the Chiefs, have we ever heard of a guy named that? I was like, who is this guy? But those are the kind of guys that's got to step up in the Raiders, because there's a lot of guys hurt in the secondary. There's guys hurt at wide receiver. We didn't hear Raymond. We heard a little bit. I mean, we heard
the preseason Raymond was kind
of –
He was the dude.
But he's been making plays. He's earned it. So, hey, your role players got to step up.
Raymond, I'm about
everybody
Raymond.
Loves
and,
it.
And they've got, you know, they
– Everybody loves Raymond. I got that.
Thank you. I love
very good. They are in a similar situation with theirs. You know, I mean, they're going through the same thing we are. But I think the positive is, this is just a gut feel, but my gut feel is that we've got more depth in the room. So, you know, I think we'll be in a little bit better position.
That takes us to second down.
Second down.
Floyd Reese, this has been a different team since Ryan Tannehill took over at quarterback. The Titans are 5-1 with Tannehill. The one loss, a big setback at Carolina earlier in the season. But so far with Tannehill, so good. And now the national media is starting to pick up on the Tannehill hype. What has he done for this team?
You know, I mean, he's won 5 out of 6. And that'll do it.
And everybody loves him, too.
Yeah, they do. They do.
You know, I think people have recognized, and not everybody watches the Titans, let's face it. You know, we're not the big media darlings. But people are starting to catch a game here and a game there, and they're watching it, and they're going, hey, you know what? That Titan team is okay. You know, Derrick Henry running the ball. They've got a quarterback now that can do some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think you have to look at it nationally and you say, hey, that's interesting. They're going to be in the hunt, which is all we ever ask. You know, give us a chance to be in contention.
You know, just looking at his numbers, if you look at last week, he was 17 for 22, 182 yards. I mean, that's okay. But the one thing that he's bringing to this Tennessee Titans offense is he's bringing energy and an attitude, and that's exactly what the Tennessee Titans were missing. So when you have your general that's throwing passes and he's making plays and he has an edge about himself, everybody feeds off it, not just on offense. They feed off on defense, and they also feed off on special teams because you have the guy that's leading his team with an attitude and bringing energy.
And we've said before, and again, we have to kind of issue this disclaimer before every – this is not
the following content does not mean anything negative towards Marcus Mariota.
Exactly. Right, right.
But he is, for whatever reason, able to give them that direction, able to give them that leadership, able to give them a focus, you know, where you just can visualize him stepping into a huddle and saying, okay, this is what we're going to
do. That's exactly right.
And everybody going, cool, you know, let's go. And I think we were lacking that. I'm not sure how much we realized we were lacking it, but we were.
That takes us to third down.
Third down.
Everybody loves Raymond. Everybody loves Tannehill. Everybody loves Henry. But one problem that those two guys, Tannehill and Henry, have had, fumbling the football, and that was a problem against Indianapolis. Wet conditions today. The rain has stopped as of right now in Oakland, but the field is wet beneath the goalpost. The dirt is muddy. This is going to be a game where the Titans, Chris Sanders, yes, are going to have to hang on to the football, and that's been a little bit of an issue and was certainly an issue last Sunday.
You know, we talked about the early in the beginning of the show to where we got to take the crowd out of it and take away their confidence. If we start fumbling, you know, Tannehill starts fumbling and then Henry starts fumbling, you're going to keep the crowd in the game. You're going to give that team confidence. So we can't start off the game on the first play of the game like we had last week against the Colts. Thank goodness the Colts had some of their explosive players out so they couldn't score any touchdowns. But, man, if we can't do that against the Raiders, because if we do that against the Raiders and Carr gets hot and Josh Jacobs and their receivers get hot, then all of a sudden we're going to be like the Houston Texans. We're in a dogfight, and we don't really want that against the Raiders.
Yeah, I mean, we don't, you know, inexcusable. Oh. Inexcusable.
Oh, my bad, I'm sorry.
Something good happened?
I'm sorry.
We just don't want to get ourselves in a position where we're in a dogfight. Yeah. You know, if we can do that, then we're going to be okay. But, I mean, it all boils down to the same thing. No mistakes, no problems, no issues. Smart, solid,
yes,
focused ball.
I think, too, with this Titans team, it's like Floyd said all throughout the week. Like, Oakland knows that they're not a great team. Mm-hmm. Don't give them hope in this game by making mistakes.
Right.
If Oakland's going to beat you today, make them earn it.
Yeah.
And that's where I think the fumbling, you know, you probably, and I know the final score, you ended up blowing out Indianapolis. But, Chris, we sat up here on Sunday and we talked about the idea of, well, how's Indy going to move the ball?
Mm-hmm.
And they really didn't have an answer for how they were going to move the ball. The problem is the Titans kept giving them great field position and allowing them to do so. That takes us to the fourth and final down.
Oh! Fourth down.
Fourth down. The Houston Texans are one spot ahead of the Titans. But for how long, we don't know. Drew Locke just connected with Royce Freeman on a 3-yard touchdown reception to go up 30-3. Extra point pending. A loss by the Texans and a win by the Titans would set up what would essentially be 2 out of 3 for the division between the Titans and the Texans. They got the win over Indianapolis last week. Floyd Reese, how important is it for the Titans to continue momentum as they march towards the playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, and again, they have done a nice job of this. And I think, again, and maybe we're heaping too much on Tannehill, I'm not sure. But, again, I think you've heard him talk during the week, and he's been very, very mature, very leader-like, very NFL savvy. You know, they keep asking him, well, what about this, and what about, you know, down the road, and what about the playoffs? And, hey, we're just playing, you know, whoever we're playing next. Mm-hmm. That's all we care about. We're going to take this one day at a time, one game at a time. And that's exactly the way that you have to do it. So, you know, I think he has really helped them, because you know Vrabel is preaching the heck out of that.
Yeah.
And you know if Vrabel, you know, if your head coach is preaching it and your quarterback is preaching it and you're A.J. Brown, guess what? You're going, hey, this must be the way it goes now. You know, the NFL is, okay, we got it. Let's just worry about this game.
Now, speaking of worrying about this game,
okay,
What do we think? Denver 31, Houston 3. I mean, this is, I would say, the single most shocking thing I could have expected.
Me too.
To sit down here. You know, because it's the NFL, and there's always a thought in the back of your mind, you know, okay, like, maybe Denver sneaks one out against Houston because anything can happen in the NFL, and you go to Oakland and you win, and then all of a sudden you're in first place. But I was pretty realistic about it, thinking, okay, you go to Houston and win. You go to Denver and win. Houston will win. Mm-hmm. And then next week you got a shot to technically even up with Houston, mm-hmm. but even technically pull ahead because you would have the tiebreaker on them for whatever that's worth. Now, I'm not saying this changes everything right now because Houston could still come back and win this game.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, it does not matter what happens in Houston today if you don't go to Oakland and take care of business. But this does feel to me like it kind of changes a lot. You know, that we never expected this.
I think we might. Oh, go ahead.
I started to say this. You know, when you get to the last three or four games in the NFL, the ups and downs and the shifts and the backs and the fourths and the, you know, I'm up a game, I'm down a game. You know, how do you manage all of that gets really, really important because just like this, things can change in the matter of a blink of an eye. You know, you go into, you beat New England, you go, oh, man, that team just beat New England. But then you go, ooh, that team just lost to Denver.
Right.
And Denver's probably thinking, geez, I wish I was in the AFC South. they're killing it. But
can't beat Jacksonville, but boy, they crush the Titans.
Crazy. I don't know. It's always the same.
You know, for me. I think with Mike Vrabel, Mike Vrabel has to be big in this game. And when I say be big in this game is, I know this sounds simple and I know it sounds funny, but when in the Tennessee Titans locker room, I know they're playing in with the Raiders, but there was TVs in there to watch the game.
You think they're watching this right now?
Yes, they are, but if I was Mike Vrabel, I would turn it off because that can be a big distraction. Because if you're looking and saying, oh, if Denver can come and can beat Houston or Denver can come in and beat Houston in Houston, then it puts pressure on us to have to play even better because we don't want that same situation that's happening in the Denver and the Houston game. So if I was Mike Vrabel and I had TVs in the locker room, I'm turning them off.
Especially if Vrabel's like a no-nonsense guy about whatever happens in that game doesn't affect our game. You know, that's not what we – and I feel like he's the same way with the players.
Yeah, and you know, you just watch this game and you can see that Denver defense is playing lights out now. Why? They're ahead. Mm-hmm. You know, we got a chance to win a game.
And they're 4-8.
Coming up next, we take a look at the offense. Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry have been cooking, but what does the Titans offense need to do against the Broncos? Against the Raiders? We'll get to that coming up next. It's the pregame show live from the George Jones on ESPN 102.5 The Game. All right, I guess we're back. We're back here on the pregame show live from the George Jones. Jared Stillman, Chris Sanders, Floyd Reese. And the pregame show. Now it's time to take a look at the offensive playbook presented by Boomba's Craft Pizza and Tap House. Chris Sanders,
yes, sir.
We start with you. Against the Oakland Raiders, what do you do? Adam Humphries is out, but we know Derrick Henry's been killing it. The Titans are 5-1 with Ryan Tannehill at quarterback.
I know the obvious is getting let the big dog eat. I mean, that's obvious. We know he's got to run the ball. He's got to get a whole bunch of touches. But the only thing that I'm concerned about to this game is the offensive line. And the reason why I say the offensive line, you got Saffold, you got Conklin, you got Luan going against Farrell, Hurst, and Crosby. I mean, that's going to be a war because if you look at the game last week when they played against the Colts, they gave up 5 sacks in the first half. They can't do that against the Raiders. If they can just make sure they know where the pressure's coming from, if it's a linebacker blitz and make sure they pass their guy off and give Tannehill a clean pocket. I know that sounds cliche, and I know it sounds so simple, but if they don't control the line of scrimmage and don't keep Tannehill clean, then the running game's not going to be able to be flourish.
Doesn't it feel, Floyd, like that line of scrimmage Chris is talking about is the only shot Oakland has in this game
defensively? I think if you're the Oakland Raiders and you look at this offense, the area of weakness is the offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
And so you say, okay, what can we do? Well, you're going to have to put pressure on them, you know, hopefully with a four-man rush. But if that doesn't work, then we're going to blitz. You know, we're going to bring extra people. Simply because, again, we've seen in the past, that's one of our Achilles heels, is that we can't, you know, our blitz pickup has not been good. And our pass protection has not been good. And the best thing this defense does probably is rush the passer. You know, they've got 2 7-sack guys, and they've got a couple of, you know, 4 or 5, 3, you know, just a variety. They don't have a 12 or 14 sacker, neither do we, but they've got, a you know, 3 or 4 guys that are Landry-like,
yeah.
You know, not not necessarily the same level as Landry, but similar.
Yeah, and then also we're going to have to make plays on the perimeter. You know, Davis, I know everybody's giving Davis a bad rap because he's been kind of non-existent in the last couple of weeks, but he's going to have to step up and make some plays. And when I say step up and make some plays, I'm not saying he's not a good player. It's just that they got to give him opportunities to make some plays. You can't just, you know, expect him to make plays if he's not getting the ball. Brown needs to have a big day with Humphreys being out. Now you got Raymond that's going to step up and make plays because the Raiders are 29th in stopping the pass. When you have a team that's 29th in stopping the pass, what should you do? Pass the ball. And those guys on the perimeter are going to have to make plays and get this offense going.
What do they do to get Derrick Henry going? We know Derrick Henry's been killing it 3 straight weeks. He's been the FedEx Ground Player of the Week in the NFL, Chris Sanders.
Yes, sir.
What has been the common theme between Henry and the way he's been running lately?
Man, he's just running with an attitude. And if you look at when he played against the Colts last week, and this is what makes me so proud of Henry, is it was 4th and 1, and he didn't just have his mindset of just getting 1 yard. He had his mindset that I'm going to run through somebody's face and I'm going to get in the end zone. You had one of the Colts players trying to pull him down by his arm. You had another one trying to grab him by his feet. And he had the mindset of, you know what, I don't care what you do, my job is to get in the end zone. So what I'm saying about Henry is he's running with authority, he's running with passion, he's running with an attitude, and he's running with something to prove. And when you have a guy that hungry, that passionate, and that big, and that mean, it's going to be hard for the Raiders to stop him.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're going to have to just be smart. I think we saw last week we were smart with what we did, running the ball. You know, we got on the perimeter a little bit, did some things that were a little bit different. So now if you're the Raiders, you're saying, okay, you know, you 9 techniques, we can't move you into a 5 technique. You've got to stay outside. Well, that's fine. As long as you've got a feel for where these guys are going to be, then, you know, maybe we've gotten ourselves to the point where we can run the ball where they ain't.
Where they ain't.
You know, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what kind of front you give us. If we can, and Tannehill has generally been pretty good at this. If we can figure out where your weak spot is in that front, that's right where we're going to run. Now, we've got a play that'll get him there.
And you got to take your head off to Arthur Smith. I mean, at the beginning of the season, sometimes we're like, what is he calling? But he's made some big plays. I mean, if you look at when they played the Colts last week, who in the world thought that Raymond would catch a 40-yard pass in a crunch time like that?
Yeah.
I mean that you, so you got to take your hat off to Arthur Smith because he's being creative. He's not just going to be, okay, I'm going to stick with what the game plan says we have to do. I'm going to go outside the box and let those guys make plays, and it can be anybody, not just a certain person.
And it's been incredible. One of the things that's really been stunning about this offense was, you know, earlier this year and last year, it was kind of like, if Davis doesn't make a play, then, right, you know, we're probably done. And, you know, now we're to the point where I don't care who's out there. You know, what's your name again? Just go line up and run the pass, and guess what? We'll get the ball to you, and you can make a play.
How much of a loss is Adam Humphreys going to be today, Chris? I know Humphreys wasn't – he does lead the team in receptions.
Right.
But Humphreys hasn't had a huge impact, but he did have a touchdown last week. Yeah. He had the game-winning touchdown against Kansas City. I mean, Humphreys has made plays for this team, and I believe, just me personally, that – someone's going to have to step up with him out of the line.
He moves the chains. And when you have a wide receiver that moves the chains, when it's 3rd and 5, he gets 6, and he keeps us moving. I mean, that's the guy that you're going to miss. And somebody caught a pass. Number 16? What was his name?
Hollister.
Who in the heck is that? When they said Hollister catches a pass, I'm like, wait a minute, let me get my cleats out. I'm coming out of retirement. But, yeah, I mean, he's a guy that you're definitely going to miss because, you know, when the offense is struggling a little bit, you know that Tannehill is looking for Humphreys because he's one of those guys that can give your offense a spark, because if it's 3rd and 10, 3rd and 11, he's going to be in the right spot because you know that he's going to make the play. So that's what you're going to miss on this Tennessee Titans offense.
And we'll have, you know, I think Sharp will be back.
Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, Sharp has been kind of that guy. He's been fairly productive in streaks. Well, this is a streak that he's going to have to come in and make some plays. So, you know, between he and Raymond and
Ferkser.
Yeah, Ferkser always. And so there are guys there. And, you know, we haven't heard from Smith in a while. So, you know, maybe it'll be time for Smith to pop a little something for us.
Either that or teams have figured out. Either that or teams are worried about Smith and it's opened it up for everybody else.
Maybe.
Which I think, Chris, I know you're going to get on your defense of Corey Davis. But where has Corey Davis been?
Okay, let me ask you a question.
I got a milk carton in my in my fridge right now, and Corey Davis is on it.
Okay, okay. Let's, I'm going to call you Pancake because you flip every other day. At the beginning of the season, he's like, I'm in camp, and that Corey Davis guy, I mean,
said I want to get too excited because it's camp.
Floyd, he didn't say that. You didn't say that. You said, Corey Davis, he looks like a number one receiver. He's just my guy. I love that guy. Let's win one.
He was making one-finger catches.
Okay, but you look at from then to now. He was getting a whole bunch of opportunities in practice, and when he got the opportunities, he made plays. He's not getting that many opportunities. He caught. They targeted him four times last week, and he caught three. Right. That's
I'm
pretty good.
I'm just saying,
average.
Ryan Tannehill has shown that if you get open, Ryan Tannehill will give you the opportunity.
Okay, he's been getting open. What happened when I think it was last week or the week before when he was open on a bomb? What happened? Tannehill overthrew him. Whose fault is that?
One throw Tannehill missed him on. But I think if there's anything to be said for Tannehill, it is that if you give Tannehill the opportunity, Tannehill will throw you the ball.
Okay.
I just feel like Davis just is what he is, and he's just, you know, a guy. He's just not a good player. He's just a regular player.
Okay, you said he's not a good player, right?
He's just a regular player.
Okay, and then let's go back 4 months ago. He's the number one. I mean, this guy's running the routes.
And all we talked about was, hey, this is training camp, and let's see if Corey Davis is actually going to play like a player when it comes around. And the answer is no.
Hey, Floyd, can I do your wife's move? Just smile and nod. Can I just smile and nod? Thank you. So can I use that? Just smile and nod.
See, this is what. See, this is the move of Floyd.
I'm
you're using.
You, no,
is you want to defend Davis, but you can't. So you turn it around on me like it's my fault that Corey Davis doesn't catch a ball.
It's about opportunity, Floyd. Could you help me, please, sir?
Yeah, he's and hopefully these next four games, he will get a bunch of opportunities.
Right.
Because this, I mean, let's face it, we're going to need, like today, I mean, you're going to need him to make some plays. He's got to find a way. And I'm not talking about, you know, 90-yard touchdown passes. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about first downs, move the chains, you know, no drop balls, get yourself open, give Tannehill a chance to throw you the ball. Yeah. Because we're going to need all the production that Ian Brown can probably give us.
Coming up on the other side, we'll take a look at the defense today for the Titans. Josh Jacobs, Derek Carr, Darrell Waller against the Titans defense. Got some injuries on it. We'll get to that coming up next. Live from the George Jones, it is the pregame show. Let's take a look at scores around the NFL. The big one today for the Titans. Right now, they have just kicked off to start the second half. Denver's got the ball. Denver with a great kickoff return. They lead the Texans 31-3. Other game of interest for the Titans today. Indianapolis at the half leads Tampa Bay 27-21. Jameis Winston doing the Titans no favors. All these games are either at halftime or in the third quarter. The Ravens lead Buffalo 16-6. Minnesota at the half leads Detroit 17-0. Atlanta on top of Carolina 13-10. The Jets lead the Dolphins 16-12. The Browns lead the Bengals 14-3, and the Packers lead the Redskins 14-6. Jared, the GM, and Chris Sanders, it's the pregame show on ESPN 102.5, the game. Time to take a look at the defensive playbook presented by Boom Boss Craft Pizza and Tap House. Derek Carr has struggled the last couple of weeks for the Oakland Raiders. He takes in his offense, led, of course, by Josh Jacobs and Darrell Waller, the tight end. The receivers have struggled for the Raiders this year. A lot of checkdowns from Carr. They have struggled in recent weeks, although it was cold and wet. And today it'll be wet, but it probably won't be cold. Floyd Reese, you're Dean Pease. What are you doing today against Carr, the Raiders, and John Gruden?
Yeah, this will be a day that we are even happier than normal that Dean Pease is the coordinator, because Dean and what he does with his defense will be paramount as to how this game turns out. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have to go in, you have to stop the running back. The running back is the best player on their team. That being said, the tight end, from a receiver standpoint, is their number one receiver going away. I mean, he's got, I want to say he's got 60, 65 catches.
I think it's 66.
Yeah. 66, and the next closest guy has like 35 or something, you know. So, I mean, he is going away, their option. Those two guys you have to take away. And now, given that, the third thing is you have got to put some pressure on Carr. Mm-hmm. If you just let him sit back there and, you know, throw and have all the time in the world, then all of these guys, these backup receivers that we don't know anything about, all of a sudden become stars, like mm-hmm. that kid we made a star last week at Indy. Yeah. You know, a guy that's...
Zach Pascal?
Yeah, hasn't even played. All of a sudden, he's playing against you, and he's a star. So, we have got to find a way to get pressure on him, which, you know, brings you down to Landry and the outside linebacker guys.
I think for me, I mean, Floyd said it. I mean, you couldn't say it any better. Number one, we got to stop the run. I mean, Josh Jacob is the guy that's going to really lead this offense. I mean, last week he had 14 for 104. I mean, if we can stop him and make him be a frustrated runner, I think we definitely can be okay. Number two, I mean, we got to rattle David Carr, just like what Floyd Reed said. Get him off his spot. Make him make the mistakes that he's capable of making, because if he makes mistakes, then it puts us in position to make some plays on offense. But the one thing that I'm concerned about is our secondary. I mean, we got a lot of guys out in secondary. We just can't give up the explosive play. I know there's some guys on the perimeter for the Raiders that we really haven't heard of, but they're in the NFL for a reason. So I just think the secondary has to be big in this game.
Titans made an addition to the secondary. Tremaine Brock claimed off of waivers from Arizona. I got to believe that with Adoree Jackson out, Malcolm Butler, of course, is on IR, LaShawn Sims is out today, we're going to see Logan Ryan line up at one corner position. Maybe Ty Smith lines up at the other, and then Tremaine Brock's probably going to be out there on the field a lot today. Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised. And you know, the positive about that is he's an experienced guy. He's been there, done that. And you know, he knows what it's like to play in big games and, you know, understands what's going on here. And he also looks at it as a great opportunity for him. You know, we claimed him. We're bringing him in. If he goes out there and does what he wants to do, you know what? He may have a job next week and the week after. So, I mean, nobody would love for him to make a big play more than he would.
What do we know about him?
He's a veteran guy. He's a 9-year guy. He's played different spots. He's played a lot. Mm-hmm. I mean, he has not been a 9-year on the bench guy. So he's experienced, done a lot of things. I'm sure, you know, won't have any trouble from a technique and, you know, knowing what to do in some of these basic coverages. Now, some of the unique kind of exotic things that they do, I mean, Byard and Cruikshank and Carl and
Hooker.
Hooker, whoever's back there may have to help him a little bit.
Chris, how do you match up Logan Ryan today? Do you put him on the tight end? Do you leave him outside? He is probably the Titans' most effective blitzer right now. What do you do with Logan Ryan?
I mean, I'm leaving Logan outside. Could you imagine Logan being messing with that big old tight end? Nah, because all you got to do is throw the ball up and it's over. But the one guy in the secondary that I think that can really, really be big is Byard. And the reason why I say Byard is because if you look at Carr, I kind of studied him a little bit, is he stares down his route combination. When I say stare down his route combination, I'm going to explain it to you like this. When you have a curl flat, your number one guy runs a curl, your number two runs a flat. That means he's going to stare it down. Number two, say if he runs a smash route, he runs the receiver, the number one receiver runs a hitch, the number two runs a corner. The David Carr tends to stare it down. And if you look at last week when he went against Kansas City, he stared it down. And Matthew, I don't know pronounce the name, the safety from Kansas City, said he stares it down. So if David Carr can stay, if he keeps staring those route combinations down, Beyer can have a big day because he specialized in looking at the quarterback's eyes.
And I think he ended up getting an interception.
Intercepted because he stares it down.
Exactly. So, I mean, the secondary is going to be unique and it's going to be different. And I would agree with Chris. I think the safeties are going to be critical. I mean, I'm not sure, at least to start off with, I wouldn't put a corner on the tight end. I think what I'd try to do is I'd try to get a linebacker and a safety. and double him, you know, in and out kind of thing. And so, you know, maybe it's Brown and whoever, whichever safety you want. But I would put them both in there and say, okay, here it is. You guys make sure that you've got him covered deep and long and go with that.
Coming up next, the inactives are out. There are some big names for the Titans and one mega name for the Oakland Raiders. We will get to that.
Whoa.
Coming up next.
Don't share it yet.
We will get to that. It is the pregame show live from the George Jones. It's ESPN 102.5, the game. Coming up in just an hour and a half, it is Titans and Raiders as they get set for a huge, huge game. Meanwhile, the Texans scored a touchdown against the Broncos, but the Broncos still lead 38-9 with the extra point pending. A loss from the Texans means the Titans could be playing for first place. Now it's time to take a look at who's in and who's out, and we start with a huge name out for the Raiders today, as their inactives are Mike Glennon, Hunter Renfrow, Isaiah Johnson, Kyle Wilbur, Trent Brown, their right tackle, Terrell McClain, a defensive tackle, and running back Josh Jacobs is out today for the Oakland Raiders. He might have been their only hope. We were just talking about the defense and talking about what do you do with Jacobs. He's a pass catcher. He's a runner. He's dynamic. He's this. He is out today, Floyd Reese, for the Raiders.
And that's big. He's their best player, or has been their most productive player. He's not only a 1,000-yard gainer, you know, three-quarters of the way through the season, but he's also been a receiver and done a lot for him. So that's got to hurt. But, you know, I mean, we've got our own problems, so we're not feeling sorry for him one little bit.
Out today for the Titans, cornerback Adoree Jackson, cornerback LaShawn Sims, wide receiver Adam Humphries, offensive lineman Kevin Palmfield, linebacker Darren Bates, defensive lineman Matt Dickerson, outside linebacker Derek Roberson. It means expect to see more Ty Smith, Kareem Moore, and Tremaine Brock in the secondary today for the Titans. Also, another little news and note, they released a backup center yesterday, earlier in the week in order to claim Tremaine Brock,
right.
And both kickers, Ryan Succop and Ryan Santoso, will be active today for the Titans. Let's go back to Jacobs. Chris, how does this change what the Denver Broncos are going to want to do today?
The Denver Broncos?
The Oakland Raiders. I hope the Broncos don't change a thing of what they're doing.
But you said it.
But
you said it with confidence that Denver Broncos.
For the Oakland Raiders today, how does this change things for Gruden?
I mean, it changes a lot. I mean, when you have a workhorse like Josh Jacobs that has 1,000 yards, and he's one of your most explosive players, somebody's going to have to step up. And I looked on the depth chart because I don't even know who's on there. It's a guy named Jalen Richards. Where'd he come from?
Jalen Richard.
Richard, where's he?
He's the Deion Lewis of their team.
Oh, it's put him in. I mean, I'd rather have him than Jacobs. But just knowing Gruden, that's not going to probably change his mentality. He's going to still try to hit you in the mouth and try to, you know, go over top. So it's a big difference because you have Josh Jacobs. That's a big part of your offense. But I think Gruden's going to have the mentality. We're still going to come out and try to punch you in the mouth.
And it helps Dean Pease more than anybody else,
in
my opinion, because Dean now can again adapt and adjust his game plan, knowing, you know, who's going to be there. Now you're maybe not quite as afraid of the run, and it means you can do a few more things from a pass rush standpoint to put a little pressure on the quarterback if you think you can hold up in the back end.
How about this? Here are the rushing stats for the Raiders. Josh Jacobs, 218 carries, 1,061 yards.
Ooh.
Their second leading rusher is DeAndre Washington, who has 48 carries for 156.
Yeah.
Their third leading rusher is Jalen Richard, 23 carries for 75 yards. So that's what you're looking at right now, is 1,000 down back. I mean, this is the same thing if Derrick Henry goes down.
Oh, exactly.
Like, if Derrick Henry gets hurt, now all of a sudden Deion Lewis is going to be running the ball for the Titans.
Exactly.
How do we feel about that? But I would say we don't feel very good.
Yeah, but the difference is with Deion Lewis, he's been around and he's more experienced. I never heard of these guys.
Yeah.
That's the difference. So if Henry did go down, at least you have an experienced guy behind him. Who'd you say before, Richard?
Well, Jalen Richard, I think, has been in the league for a while, but he is a pass-catching back. Okay. I mean, this DeAndre Washington is going to be the running back, it feels like, today. I don't even know if that guy's still on the team. I don't know anything about him. I do think this, though. The inability to throw the ball down the field now for the Raiders with their receivers, that, I think, will really handcuff them, is what they're going to try to do today.
Yeah, but what kills the Tennessee Titans every game?
Zone coverage.
Yeah, zone coverage, but who catches the ball? 95%.
If this is the one, if they let this tight end go off today, then somebody ought to be fired. Not a player, coach, I don't care. Somebody, because he's the only guy they got today.
And he is a for real guy.
He sure is.
You know, I mean, he was a receiver at Georgia Tech.
Wow.
A la Calvin
Johnson.
Yeah.
Johnson. Wow. Same style.
So he knows how to
run routes. 6'6", you know, 240 pounds, whatever he is. So he is big enough to muscle a safety and fast enough to outrun a linebacker. Yeah. You know, that's where your problem arises. The positive, of course, is that you know this.
Should he not be doubled on every play right now?
Yeah. I mean, everybody knows. So you should be saying, no, you know what? Right now, to start the game, I don't care who else catches the ball.
Right.
Do not let that guy catch the ball.
Yeah, but what hurts us is, you know, our top guys are not at corners. So this is just my opinion on the perimeter. I think it's evenly matched. I know you got Logan that's probably going to be out there, and I don't know where Dean Pease is going to put Logan. But you have some guys out there that, you know, you're still not sure about. So that can take advantage of that.
And the Raiders, historically, if nothing else, they have always had speed on the perimeter.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that Gruden's Raiders are the same, but I know his first run through, they had guys who could run.
I read an article talking about the Raiders, and we had Fitz on earlier, Jason Fitz at ESPN Radio, you know, obviously was here for a while, a diehard Raiders fan. And Fitz said on Jared and the GM this week, he's like, they have no receivers. Zero receivers. Now, the tight end is legit, but no receivers. And I remember they signed Tyrell Williams and gave him all that money from the Chargers, and I know he'd had a down year, and Renfro's out. And I read an article that said, essentially, this team was built for Antonio Brown to give them 100 catches and, you know, 100 catches and 1,100 yards and 8 touchdowns. And this team was built to have A.B., the running back, the tight end, and then everybody else is complimentary. Well, now you move everybody up. Their second leading receiver behind the tight end, Tyrell Williams, 489 this season in terms of receiving yards. Mm. Hunter Renfro's out. Their fourth leading receiver is Jalen Richard, the running back. So I don't know what Gruden's going to do. This is where, if I'm Dean Pease, back to your point, Floyd, you look at with the running back out now, you look at him and say, hey, the tight end does not catch the ball. And I'm trying to find a receiver who's active today for Oakland who's on this list.
Well, this
is
also,
Foster Moreau. No, he's a tight end.
Every time.
Zay Jones is their second leading receiver that will play today, and he has 13 catches.
It means zero.
Yeah. And I think Zay Jones, couldn't he run?
Wasn't he can run now. Yeah, he can run.
I think he was drafted like in the second round based upon what he did at the combine.
Yeah.
And he went to Buffalo and was just A, kind of kooky, and B, not very good.
Right.
And so after a year, it was like you just get rid of him. Kind of like Dorial Green Beckham. You know, just like just get rid of him. And so now he's in Oakland.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you could say it doesn't mean anything. I think it means everything. I mean, I'm just talking about now. It doesn't mean anything for the Titans players to say, oh, well, Josh Jacobs is out, so now we don't have to play as hard. I'm not saying
that.
I'm saying, though, like, how's Oakland going to move the ball today?
But see, even last week with all those guys out from the Colts, we were saying that same thing. And the Colts were moving the ball up and down the field. So it's just that, you know, their offensive coordinator is going to have to figure out ways to do something different because they don't have their workhorse in there.
I felt like the Colts' offense was really limited last week.
It was 17-7.
Yeah, well, no, the Titans were fumbling the ball at their own 25-yard
line. Yeah, but you still got
giving them, you know, points. But I would say that Colt team had more offensive firepower going into the game than this Raiders team does today.
True. Okay.
We just got to go in there and just play.
I agree.
Just and let them, if they're going to, you know, self-combust, go, great. You know, blow yourselves up. We're as we always say, nobody in the league cares.
No.
You know, that's
a great
point. I get that, but let's just be real here, Floyd. Do you think that the Titans defense has any excuse today to not lock the Raiders down with the lack of playmakers the Raiders are going to have?
Well, yeah. I mean, playmakers that we know about. But, I mean, there are all – it's like that receiver last week. You know, who was that guy?
Zach Pascal?
100 yards. You know, so we just got to make sure that doesn't happen again.
Yeah.
And I don't know who that might be, but we're not as familiar with some of these guys as the other. If that Zay Jones was a second-round guy – I mean, somebody liked something about him at a point in time.
Yeah.
Just not enough about him to keep him around there after 1 year.
I mean,
they liked him. They just wanted to move on from him as soon as they possibly could, and they've thrown to him 13 times in Oakland. The Raiders are a mess, and that's why it's got all this set up in the world for a total letdown game. That feeling where you go into it and you feel like, oh, yes, Houston's going to lose to Denver. You feel good about that. Now all you have to do is go beat this just beleaguered, hampered, hurt Oakland team, and then all of a sudden the NFL's got a weird way of humbling you.
Guarantee it.
And that's the only feeling I have surrounding this game. Which is the biggest injury, in your opinion, Floyd, for the Titans? Is it the two corners, Sims and Jackson, out today? Is it Humphreys? What do you think the Titans are going to have to do to make up for the minute they have out today?
Well, in my mind, it's Adore, yeah. You know, not have, because if he was in there, you would at least have two legitimate corners. Not that the backups are not legitimate. We just don't know. You know, we're hoping they certainly are. But we just know, and that's what's scary. So, I mean, Humphreys, I like Humphreys, and he was our number one receiver, but I think we're gonna have ways of filling that in a little bit.
You know, I agree with Floyd. He's 100%. You know, Adore, I think the one that hurts the most on injury list is Adore. Because, I mean, he's one of those guys that you can put on your top receiver and nobody can really run by him. Because in the last 3 or 4 weeks, he's been playing outstanding football.
Coming up next, we'll take a look. We'll check in with Teron Davenport, TD from ESPN.com. We'll get the latest on what's going on in Oakland, especially with the injury to Josh Jacobs. Meanwhile, scores around the NFL, the Broncos are doing the Lord's work. They lead late in the third quarter, 38-10 over the Houston Texans. Jameis Winston has been benched as he has been put down. Ryan Griffin is in. Indianapolis leads 27-21. On Tampa Bay, San Francisco 35, New Orleans 30, Baltimore 17-9 over Buffalo, Cleveland 21-13 over Cincinnati, Green Bay 17-6 over the Redskins, the Jets 16, Dolphins 12, and Atlanta leads 27-10 over
Carolina. Oh, he threw an interception.
My bad. Meanwhile, interception for Denver, not good for the Titans, but it is what it is. Coming up next, We'll talk to TD. We are live from the George Jones. It's the pregame show on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are live from the George Jones. Titans and Raiders getting set to do battle. Meanwhile, the Texans, feels like the Texans are starting to come back a little bit, Floyd. At least that's the worry that I have. They're down 38-10, but Deshaun Watson is driving the ball after a Drew Lock interception late in the third quarter. I don't know. You always worry. It feels like the Titans should be okay, but I worry.
Don't count them out.
Don't count out the Texans yet. Meanwhile, the Titans are getting set for the Raiders. Josh Jacobs is out today for the Raiders. We're joined now by Teron Davenport, ESPN.com. TD, how much of a surprise do you think is the injury to Josh Jacobs, and how does this change things offensively for the Raiders?
Oh, it's a big-time surprise because, I mean, it just got announced just randomly. I mean, it's definitely a surprise. I don't think it's something that anyone thought was going to happen. When you look at it, he did miss practice, which was the first time he did that, you know, all year. But, I mean, the going understanding was that he was going to play. So it's definitely a big-time surprise. It changes a lot of things because of the way he runs with the football. He's a very violent runner. He's a guy, I mean, let's face it, he's in the top five in the AFC in rushing yards. He has 1,000 yards already, and he can catch the ball out of the backfield. So that's definitely going to be something that's going to hurt the Raiders, and it should help the Titans. But, you know, DeAndre Washington is a solid pass catcher out of the backfield. So from that perspective, they'll still have someone to help him up.
TD, what do you think the options are going to be for the Titans against Waller, the tight end, and how much of a difference maker he is?
Well, he's a big-time difference maker, and the fact that he's a former wide receiver definitely helps, and they use him that way, and that they'll have him line up over top of the numbers, run that fade. You know, they'll have him go cut splits and have him use his big size running crossing routes. They even have him, in trips. You know, they'll have him as the inside guy, and they'll run fades that way with, the two rub routes on the outside, the two receivers running slants. So they game plan around him like as if you take a wide receiver and game plan that way as far as moving him across the formation. It's huge for them, and he's a guy that they also use in the blocking game. So he's pretty much the focal point of their offense. You look in the last 3 weeks how many balls have gone his way. It's just a guy that they play off of. So the Titans, in my opinion, will be best served going zone. I've seen teams use a corner, a linebacker, a safety, none of which worked for them that well. So I go zone, and I just, make sure that I tell my corners, hey, look, fight it all the way through the tuck. He's so big, your best chance is to punch it out as he's pulling it down to his body.
TD, is there a way for them to – I mean, you can't replace a 1,000-yard rusher. That's yeah, it's going to do much. But is there a way for them to approach the running game the way it was?
Well, you know what? And here's the thing. Along with Josh Jacobs being out, Trent Brown's out. So, they have a lot of hill to climb if they want to run the football effectively. So I don't think you could really, game plan and do it well. You know what I mean? When you have those two key pieces out, it's going to be trouble for the Raiders. I think the Titans win this one. I'm not going to say easily, but I think they win this one, going away.
Hey, TD, what's going on, man? You good?
Oh, I'm good. Hey, ask Jared about Marcus Johnson.
He didn't do anything.
Yes, he did. Thank you.
Well,
thank you very much.
Do anything. I don't even remember what
thank you.
He
thank
wore.
You. Thank you again. Thank you.
What did he do?
Thank you.
He
caught four balls, four or five balls. That's what he did.
Hey,
big dog. Hey.
That's three key catches,
Thank you.
It's all good.
Hey, with the secondary banged up, which guy you think is going to step up and make some plays for the Tennessee Titans defense?
Out of the secondary or just overall?
Yeah, a couple of guys just banged up and hurt.
I think, man, listen, I'll say this. Logan Ryan, I think, is the guy that's going to step up today. And he's a guy that has stepped up all season. Mm-hmm. And if he's not in the Pro Bowl, it's a crime. Because if you look at just complete football, no one is playing better football at the cornerback position than Logan Ryan. So I'm going to go with a safe pick and say Logan Ryan.
Wow. How do you think the corners are going to line up today? Like, who are the outside guys who would be the intake?
So I think it's going to be that's a good question. Wow, that's a really good question. So, all right, so when they go sub, I think you have Logan in the slot, and I'm going to say Ty Smith and Orr. And I think you'll see a rotation of Brock and Orr. I think when you look at Ty Smith, that length that he has is good for going against a guy like Terrell Williams. So I would say those guys, but then Kalu will probably mix in too.
Teron Davenport with us as the Titans get set to take on the Raiders. Tell me about the field conditions. We know it rained this morning. They were doing reports on ESPN, and they were tarping the field and squeegeeing the field. How does the field look today for Derrick Henry?
The field is fine. I'm actually standing in the black hole, and I just reached down and touched the end zone. It's fine. It's dry. Now, if you're talking about walking around on the outside of the field, that's an issue, but the field itself, it's okay. I mean, and it actually has a little bounce to it. I think it's fine. A nice low cut. It's good to go. There shouldn't be any issues. And then watching the guys doing warm-ups, none of them were slipping or anything like that. They were shapping their feet easily, and there were no issues. So I don't think the field, there's any problems there.
Teron Davenport, ESPN.com. Of course, TD, we look forward to all your work at ESPN.com. And, of course, talking with TD and chasing TD. And, TD, hopefully you make it out of the black hole alive.
Oh, and, you know, they talk a little shop, but, you know, it's nothing to a giant. That's what I always tell them, small things to a giant.
Don't turn your back.
Exactly.
All right, now, appreciate it.
We'll see you, TD. All right,
appreciate you, man.
Teron Davenport, as always, joining us from ESPN.com. Floyd, what do you make of the way that TD says he could see the corners rotating? They used a lot of Kareem Moore and Ty Smith out of necessity last week against Indianapolis. What do you think about using them today as much as they may have to?
Yeah, I think it'll be largely determined by where Waller lines up.
Mm-hmm.
And if he lines up inside, then I would agree with him that they would go with Ryan inside. Mm-hmm. If he were to line up outside, then, you know, we're going to have to move Ryan. And the problem, of course, is you would like to keep it that way. Can you do those things when they motion and shift and move him around trying to uncover from, you know, Ryan or however they line him up and not mess the other guys up? Mm-hmm. That's the scary part, because more important than you know, whether or not you make a great play is that you don't bust a coverage. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. So, you know, if it looks like with all these new people back there, they're not going to be able to do that, then I would just say, hey, this is the way we're lining up. We're going to cover them this way. You guys go out and do it.
And that's why it's so important, you know, with the with Josh Jacobs being out, because now you can stay in a two safety look and not have to bring a safety down to stop the run because he's out.
Good point.
So now you just stay zone and don't get beat deep and let your front put pressure on the quarterback and let your front stop the run, because you don't have that threat in the backfield. And that's why Josh Jacobs is so important, because he just doesn't help you in the running game. He helps you in the passing
game.
What
I wonder, too, is what are the roles that the safeties are going to play here today? Because both Vaccaro and Byard are healthy, and I think all of us trust Vaccaro and Byard and what they're going to try to do. How important, Floyd, are the safeties going to be today for the Titans with the secondary as depleted as it is?
Yeah, I mean, they're going to be critical, because I'm sure they're going to be asked to do more from a coverage standpoint. But beyond that, they're going to have to be tremendous communicators. Mm-hmm. And I don't care how simple you think it is. You know, sometimes when you're back there, I think you have a simple call and there aren't any adjustments and you think everybody knows it. And then all of a sudden they shift or they go in motion, and one of these guys that hasn't been in there a lot now kind of goes, what are we doing? What are we, you know, how are we? Mm-hmm. So they're going to have to be sure that they communicate with those guys all the way through, because those new guys are not going to have a chance to play well if they don't know what they're doing.
Good. Your thoughts on the safeties?
I think Byard's going to have a big day. I'm not going to kind of tell you who
get
I'm going
to
pick. Yeah, I want to get to it
there,
right now.
No.
Because Byard is the quarterback of that defense. And when you have a guy like that, that even though you may be depleted in some areas, he's going to make sure guys are in the right position, and he's going to read the quarterback's eyes. I mean, if you look at what he does so well, is he reads the combination of the routes that's happening on the field, but also he's reading the quarterback's eyes so he can make those picks, and that's exactly what happened last week when he was going against the Colts.
And you kind of – one of the tantalizing things about the way this whole thing is kind of set up right now is that they know how important it is for them to win, and they're maybe going to try to make some plays.
Yeah.
You know, especially if you're Carr. I'm thinking to myself, I've got to make plays. I've got to get this ball down the field. Mm-hmm. I've got to find somebody open, and sometimes that's good and sometimes it ain't so good.
Yeah.
And so I would be worried about that. The other thing is, of course, that whole team with the running back out, that whole team kind of, you know, that takes a half a step back and they go, whoa, now what's going to happen now? And so it's going to be interesting how they approach that. Yeah.
Meanwhile, the Texans are looking to get on the board. They trailed Denver 38-10, fourth quarter, early, third and goal for the Texans. Floyd, I know crazier things have happened in the NFL. 28 points seems to be really hard to overcome in the fourth quarter.
I've seen it happen.
And I feel like these two plays for the Broncos are huge. If the Broncos can stop the Texans on these two plays, maybe it gives us some hope. That is, if they don't let Deshaun Watson run into the end zone for a touchdown.
Too late.
Touchdown. Dang it.
Touchdown. It's 21 with 13 minutes to go. How big of a gap is that still?
It's a lot of points, but we just saw how quickly they scored there. Now, you know, are they going to have enough time? And this turns into, can you run the ball if you're Denver?
Watson into the end zone.
We all just got quiet.
Everybody's watching.
Into the end zone for a touchdown. So we'll keep tabs on that. Nothing could be more deflating before the start of the Titans game than if the Texans come back to beat Denver down by 28 in the fourth quarter. As the Texans are now down by what? They're down by 21, they're down by 22, so they're going to go for – they're going to kick it here, right?
I went to Ohio State, so don't ask me.
They're going to go for it.
He's still on there.
So if they get two, they'll be down by 20.
What's the difference between being down by 20 and being down by
– Makes a big difference.
Being 21.
20, you win.
Yeah. See, they weren't going for the win.
I don't know if I'd do this if I – and now they had to burn a timeout? Oh, Bill O'Brien. Oh, goodness gracious. Okay, more of the pregame show. Our picks to click are coming up next, plus Mike Vrabel's keys to the game and more. Live from the George Jones, it is the pregame show on ESPN 102.5 The Game. 1 hour, a little bit less actually, about 40 minutes to go until kickoff between the Titans and the Raiders. Meanwhile, we're keeping our eye on the Texans and the Broncos. That game 38-17. 13:34 to go. Denver with the football. It is time, though, for our picks to click, presented by Wholesaling, powered by RumbleOn.com. Just to take a look at last week's picks to click, Chris Sanders, you went with Corey Davis.
Yes, sir.
And Kevin Byard. Byard with a big interception in the football game for the Titans. I went with Jonnu Smith, who I don't even think he did anything last week.
He's disappeared recently.
And Harold Landry, who had a sack and the pressure on the Byard interception. Uh-huh. So both players, Byard and Landry, came up big. Both of our offensive players somehow, some way against Indianapolis went missing. It is time now for our picks to click. And, Chris, we start with you today. Who is your offensive pick to click today for the Titans?
I'm going with Corey Davis. I didn't go with him last week.
Yeah, you did.
No, I'm going with the offensive line guy.
I got Corey Davis.
Huh? No, you're wrong. Hey, okay, I did. I'll go with Corey Davis again. I'm going with Davis again. He's got to have a big day. The Raiders are going to be sold out to stop the run. He's going to get one-on-one coverage. He's got to make the play. I'm not just talking about an 80-yard catch. I'm talking about catching the slant, taking it 15, 20, or 30 yards. So I'm going with Corey Davis on offense.
Time for Davis to show up a little bit. Chris?
Yes.
On defense, where are you going?
This is going to be really bad. I'm going with Byard again. The reason why I'm going with Byard again is – you got a quarterback like Carr that's going to stare down his receivers, and I think that Byard is a master of reading the combination of routes and also watching the quarterback eyes. So I think Byard is going to be huge, have about two picks, huge in this game.
Floyd, who are you going with your picks to click on offense today for the Titans?
On offense, I'm going to go with the tackles. And I'm going to go with the tackles because the best part of their defense is those pass rushers.
Great point.
And we're gonna have to protect them. So and I'm not, to be honest with you, I feel pretty good about Taylor. I'm a little bit worried about Jack.
Would his matchup be Max Crosby?
Yes.
And I think Crosby's what, an 8-sack guy this year, fourth round pick.
7.5 or 8, but so high motor. I mean, just 1,000 miles an hour all the time kind of guy. So I worry about that.
And defensively, who is your pick to click?
On defense, I'm going to do the similar thing. I'm going to go with outside guys, pass rushers, with Landry and the guys, the outside linebacker group, because they're going to have to, even if we are playing zone, we're going to have to put some pressure on this guy or else he's going to find the open people, whoever they may be, even if it's just a check down every snap. They'll find somebody.
So I think that, and I would say to that, I believe that Kamale Correa probably had his best game as a Titan last week against Indianapolis. And Vrabel came out after the game and said he was the spy on Brissett. Mm-hmm. But he made plays in the run game, plays in the pass game. I thought Kamale Correa had his best game. My picks to click, I'm going Derrick Henry. Let the big dog eat. Three straight FedEx Ground Players of the Week awards. Derrick Henry right now might be the best running back in the NFL. The Titans are going to need Derrick Henry. Wet field out there. Time of possession on the road. Take the running game with you. Let the big dog eat. And I think Derrick Henry is going to have the potential in the second half to break a couple Derrick Henry runs. Oakland, we know they're going to sell out early in the game to try to stop Derrick Henry. The question is, as we get later on in the game, will they be able to stop the big dog? Because right now, nobody's stopping that man.
Yeah, I agree.
Defensively, I'm going to go Kenny Vaccaro. I believe Kenny Vaccaro will draw the initial matchup of Darrell Waller, and I believe that he'll have help. I think they're going to double him with a linebacker and a safety. Vaccaro's going to be the safety. I would guess maybe Brown would be the linebacker, and they will double Waller. And I believe those two guys, if you stop him, I think the Raiders don't have a plan B today. With Josh Jacobs out, with Antonio Brown out of the NFL, with everything they've planned gone right down the toilet, I don't think they have a second option after Waller. I think Vaccaro and Brown double him up, and I'm going to go with Kenny Vaccaro today to make a big play.
This is, we would put Bullock on him.
Oh, this is why we drafted
Keith.
Oh, yeah.
Cover those big old tight ends, man. He could do it.
Well, and I love Jayon Brown, but he ain't Keith Bullock.
And he's certainly not 6'6".
So he's going to need a little help
in
that department if they're going to be able to do that. Those are our picks to click, presented by Wholesale Inc., powered by RumbleOn.com. Again, the GM is going with the tackles and the outside linebackers. Chris Sanders going with Corey Davis and Kevin Byard. And yours truly going with Derrick Henry and Kenny Vaccaro. Meanwhile, we're keeping our eyes on the Denver-Houston game right now. Denver with the football, although they're facing a first in about a million, as there's about 12:40 to go in the game, and Denver leading by 21. Guys, what do we think about the possibilities of the Titans if they can take care of business? Let's say that the Denver score holds and they can take care of business today against the Raiders. How do we feel about the Titans and the way they've been hot over the last month or so?
I mean, you have to be excited. I don't care who you are. I mean, even if you're not a Titan fan, and I think we're seeing that from a little bit of the national press. Mm-hmm. They, you know, none of those guys are Titan fans, and yet they're saying, uh-oh, you know, we better keep our eye on these guys. These guys look like they may be doing something. And let's face it, I mean, if you're lucky enough to pull this thing off, then you've got, this is another one of those tiebreakers that, you know, you may need down the line. Who knows?
So. And then it goes back to, you know, controlling your own destiny. The Titans have put themselves in position to where that if they just win all the games they're supposed to win, then now they can win the AFC South, and they don't have to worry about anybody else doing anything for them to get in. They control their own destiny, and that's why this game is very, very important.
So I think the other thing to keep our eye on is the Colts score right now. Because I am not convinced the Colts are done.
I don't either.
I mean, they play New Orleans, and that'll be a really tough game for them when they play New Orleans. But Indianapolis is not dead, and I think that that's the thing that we have to remember is there are still teams behind you. Oakland today is a team who could possibly convince themselves that they've got a shot at the playoffs, probably a pretty good shot at the playoffs, if they can beat Tennessee today, because the rest of their schedule is Jacksonville, Chargers, and Denver. So a lot of teams, there's still teams behind you. The other thing to look at, a late game today, the Steelers with their third-string quarterback, Devlin Duck Hodges, going into Arizona. Arizona embarrassed last week by the Rams. Everybody's praising Mike Tomlin right now. How long can Pittsburgh do this, though, with a third-string quarterback?
I mean, just look at what's keeping them in the game is their defense. I mean, it's not that the quarterback play is just – it's kind of up and down. But if you look at their defense is – they're not – they may not be as good as last year and the year before, but they're keeping them in games. And that's what you need. I mean, even with the Tennessee Titans earlier, when they were winning those or losing those games, that our defense was still keeping the Tennessee Titans in the game to put them in position to win. So Pittsburgh's playing good ball.
They really are playing good ball.
I'm worried about the Steelers.
Yeah, I mean, and the problem is if the Steelers just continue to win, there's nothing we can do. And so it would end up being Buffalo and them, and, you know, you're out of it even though you win a bunch of games.
Wow.
You know, so It's scary, and this is Tomlin's absolute best coaching job he's probably ever done. He's got no AB, he's got no running back, he's got no, even Connor has been out. You know, he's down to his third quarterback, third, count him.
Wow.
And that was a gutsy move by Tomlin to go to the third quarterback.
Oh, yeah, and they're still winning, so... I mean, you would have to think at some point in time it's going to catch up.
I think today would be a big game to watch out for the Steelers. Arizona's got all week after getting their rear end smacked by the Rams. They've got a Steeler team in here that's not going to put up a bunch of points. This could kind of be a game where Arizona tries to play spoiler, just like Denver right now for Houston. Yeah. I do want to keep my eye on Arizona today against the Steelers. Scores around the league as the Titans get set. We'll take a look at what Mike Vrabel's keys to the game are, plus our keys to the game, and of course, our game day picks are all coming up next here on the pregame show. Scores from around the league in the fourth quarter, unless noted otherwise. Every game right now is in the fourth quarter. Denver hanging on. They're up 38-17 on the Texans. The Texans have the ball around midfield with about 10 minutes to go. Indianapolis driving inside Tampa Bay territory early fourth quarter. They're up 35-31. Jameis Winston back in the game for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Meanwhile, don't look at me. I'm not. Meanwhile, Atlanta leads Carolina 33-10 in the fourth quarter. Not a great start for the new Ron Rivera-less era in Carolina. The Jets trail the Dolphins 18-16 as that game gets late into the fourth quarter. Minnesota all over Detroit 20-0. Baltimore all over Buffalo 24-9. The Niners lead the Saints 41-33 game in the fourth quarter. And the Packers lead the Redskins 17-9. Browns 24. Bengals 16. So not a lot of surprises.
Where'd all this discussion about tanking Miami go?
Oh, they're terrible. And yet Adam Gase is about to lose.
They're winning
twice.
They've won three of the last four or two of the last three, or I mean, they've had a couple of nice wins here, so certainly tanking it.
No.
I think it has to do with your guy coaching them, Brian Flores. Mike Vrabel's keys to the game. He's a Patriot just like Flores. Mike Vrabel's keys to the game are next. It's Jared, the GM, and Chris Sanders from the George Jones on ESPN at 102.5 The Game. Titans and Raiders getting set for action coming up here at 3:25 on CBS. Meanwhile, the Titans need the Broncos to hold on. Deshaun Watson converted a 4th-and-18. Texans driving down by 21, 7 minutes and change to go in the football game. Which I got to be honest with you guys, I was you know how I get about coaching and play calling sometimes. How does Denver have one guy on DeAndre Hopkins on 4th-and-18?
They were in zone.
Yeah, they're all backed out of there.
I know, but where is he going with the ball on 4th-and-18?
Always.
Hopkins. I mean, just unbelievable. It's time now for Mike Vrabel's keys to the game. Hopefully next week when they play the Texans, he'll put more than one person on DeAndre Hopkins if there's a 4th-and-18. It's time now for Mike Vrabel's keys to a Titans victory. Mike Vrabel says the first thing the Titans have to do is stop the Raiders on 3rd and 4th downs in this game.
This team is, they're in the top 10 in the NFL. They're 7th and 3rd and 4th down. They don't commit a lot of penalties offensively. So, therefore, just like with the Colts, we said they have a lot of 3rd and manageable down and distances, 3rd and 4, 3rd and 3. And, you know, they're around 45, 46%. So they do a nice job there. It'll be a huge challenge for us defensively.
Floyd, we know getting off the field is important in a football game of this magnitude, but the Raiders on both 3rd and 4th downs are one of the best teams in the NFL. And you heard Vrabel say, like the Colts, they are in a lot of 3rd and 4th and shorts. Josh Jacobs being out will affect some of this, but how important is it on 3rd and 4th down, and how much do you think that is going to be what happens on 1st down?
Well, yeah, Josh Jacobs being out of there may change that whole formula for them. They were similar to us from the standpoint that if they got, you know, they got a 3rd and 2 or a 3rd and 3, then they could go ahead and convert that. Well, if hopefully, you know, they're not running the ball well, and now that's 3rd and 8, 3rd and 9, 3rd and 10, it may, you know, it may be totally different for them. So we're going to have to stick to our first down conviction, go out there and play well on first down and force them to make some of those third and tens.
Yeah, I think with Josh Jacobs being gone, that was their bread and butter, to where if it was third and four, Josh Jacobs would get those tough yards. But, you know, with him being out, how are they going to convert those third downs? And the only way I think they convert is if they get a swing pass to their running back or throw a quick pass to the receivers that we really don't know about. I mean, that kind of helps us. So I just think that if they just, the Tennessee Titans, play their type of football and just do what they need to do, I think the Tennessee Titans will be fine.
Meanwhile, the Titans have been blessed with an incomplete interception on fourth down by Deshaun Watson. The Broncos with the ball, 7 minutes to go, up by 21. Turn out the lights.
Turn out.
Got to be right there.
Which would set up again a Titan win to put the Titans in first place with the Texans coming to Music City next week. Mike Vrabel's second key is to look ahead of this game and start worrying about the Texans. I'm kidding. Your boy looked at me like that
me
was
too.
Crazy. Oh, Mike Vrabel's second key. The Titans have been great with Ryan Tannehill at quarterback in the red zone. Today they're going to have to score touchdowns against the Raiders.
We have to continue with that confidence. We have to get our players to understand how critical it is to be able to get down there, know what they're doing. Some teams' identities change a little bit, coverages change. Is this a pressure team? Is this a zone team? You know, it'll be critical that they understand that we get them to understand that and how we're going to try to attack them and be able to score touchdown.
Floyd, the Titans have been really good in the red zone since Tannehill took over, but you heard what Vrabel said there about the idea of a zone team and a man team and how they change their identities and things like that, which means there's something Oakland does that Vrabel thinks is a big deal today. What could that possibly be, and why could he be hammering home the red zone efficiency for the Titans today?
You know, to be as competitive and as complete as we are in the red zone is not common. Mm-hmm. I mean, our defense has been pretty good in the red zone for a couple of years. Our offense hasn't been good in the red zone for two or three years. But they are to a point now where, we've been given opportunities with turnovers, and we've been lucky that we got into the short red zone area, which makes it easier. But it's still red zone, and we have, for whatever reason, Tannehill again gets down there and has a good feel for what he can and can't do, and so far, knock on wood, hasn't turned the ball over, and that's been key.
You know, and just looking at Tannehill, he's just taking what the defense is giving him. I mean, if they're taking away the run and it's third and nine and a receiver's not open, he's not going to force the ball. I mean, you made a great point saying that he's not making any mistakes. The reason why he's not making a lot of mistakes is because he's not forcing it. He's just letting it happen. Just like last week when they played against the Colts, when it, I think it was third and nine, and Humphreys ran like a little out route. He threw a little out route and let the receiver make the play and make the touchdown, and that's why we're being successful in the red zone.
Meanwhile, Mike Vrabel's third key to this game, win field position with both punting games.
We have to be able to win this field position, and they are averaging 11.5 yards a return, and it's critical that we're able to punt the football, go down there and cover it, and not lose. You talked about hidden yardage, and we always talk about that. When we give them the ball and they give it to us back, how much yardage is gained or lost on field position? And so we feel that's going to be critical.
Floyd, what do we make of Vrabel saying both punting games?
Yeah, I think he's worried about their returner. I mean, he's been pretty good, and he's really concerned about him, and I don't blame him. Given that, I mean, it's hard to imagine a better punting game than what we've had in the last little bit, and we just need to continue that. And I don't know why we wouldn't do that, unless this guy just, you know, is something we can't touch. And I don't know who the punt returner is, to be completely honest, but he must be pretty special.
Now it's time for our game day picks. Who wins today and why? Titans at the Raiders, 3:25 on CBS. Chris Sanders, you went with the Titans last week. Of course, they pulled it out. You go first today. Who wins today? Final score and why?
I'm going with Titans 41, Texans. the Raiders 40. No, I'm just kidding. I'm going with the Tennessee Titans 35. I think the Raiders 10. I just think that the Raiders, I know they're hype and they need a win, but I don't see them scoring no points with their top dog out. I just can't see it.
Now, Floyd, you went with the Titans even though you were out last week. Since you picked the Titans on Jared and the GM, I put you down for tight 41-40. And the Titans ended up beating Indianapolis. Floyd, your pick today, who wins, final score, and why?
My pick is the Raiders 41-40. Simply because we're 5-6 with it, so we got to string it another week.
You mean 5-1
there
with you?
Yeah, five.
Although technically you did pick the Colts last week since you weren't here, and I put you down, or you did pick the Titans. I put you down Titans 41-40. I think the Titans are going to win this game. I think Derrick Henry is going to have another big game. I think it'll be slow starting early for Henry, but then I think he'll bust out, and the Titans will win this game. It'll be a with Josh Jacobs out, that changes the dynamic a little bit. I'm going to go Titans 38-10 in this football game. So I'm kind of along the same lines as Chris. And I think the Titans will blow out Oakland in this game. And if this holds as well as the fact that it looks like the Texans are going to go down, the Titans, we'd be sitting here live from the George Jones next week at 9 a.m. talking up 9:30. Talking about the Texans and the Titans for first place. Fellas?
Yeah.
I will see you next Sunday. Of course, Jared and the GM will have your reaction tomorrow starting at 2 o'clock. George Jones, this has been the pregame show on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/ohio's time.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.